You can also scan your living environment within a meditative state. Here's how. You relax. You close your eyes and imagine that you are slowly walking through your home, room by room. In each room, stop and tune into the energy there. Imagine that you have the ability to perceive energy and notice what cords attach to particular objects and particular areas. Notice if your energy goes up or down with each object. In this chapter, you've learned the effects of negative strands, how to explore and assess them, and when it's a good idea to think about releasing them. In the next chapter, you'll learn exact methods to sever links that are depleting you. Chapter 3. Cutting the ties that bind. Releasing the strands that diminish you. This chapter is for the times when you need to unhook or let go of someone or something from your life. You'll learn how to release, sever, or diminish cords that are depleting you. However, it's important to remember that when your energy is strong and clear and your frequency is attuned, negative cords shrink without you doing anything. Before we jump into cutting and releasing strands and cords, there's some things to keep in mind. Randomly cutting strands without a clear intention of why you're doing it and without understanding the underlying reason for those strands can sometimes cause an imbalance in your energy. You need to have a conscious awareness of why you want to sever a connection and also have a respect for the sacred process of releasing a strand. It's valuable to remember that on some level you have chosen the attachment of the strands of energy that you have, even the ones that aren't healthy. Of course, most likely it wasn't a conscious decision to have those negative cords, but from a spiritual perspective, you may have signed up or you might have a life contract for those strands to attach to you. A life contract consists of choices you made about your current life pre-birth while you were in the spirit world, usually with the intent to grow spiritually as a result. On a very deep level, there is always personal, albeit unconscious, responsibility for every life experience. It's not enjoyable to think that we get something out of the depleting energy attachments we have, but perhaps we are victims of life because of the way society honors and even celebrates victims. Television news is full of victim stories, and we all rush to pity and feel sorry for those who have had life tragedies. In our culture, it's often easier to feel like a victim than to acknowledge responsibility for our life experiences. Of course, we should have immense compassion for anyone in trying circumstances. We should also have compassion for ourselves if we're having a rough time in life. But it's important to remember that from a spiritual perspective, there are no victims, only volunteers. Is there a payoff for having negative strands? Here are some hard questions to answer, but they're helpful for you in your journey to understanding and releasing strands that don't serve you. Please don't judge yourself if you answer yes to any of these questions. It just means you're human. Almost all of us, if we're being honest, will answer in the affirmative to one or more of these questions. Here's the questions. Do you subconsciously enjoy the feeling of being needed, even if needy people are depleting some of your energy? Do you need to be needed? Have you ever given your power away to someone in an effort for that person to like you? Has your need for approval ever been more important than the needs of your soul? Do you have a dysfunctional relationship with yourself that causes you to tend to draw negative relationships into your life? Do you enjoy getting to be right about a person or situation you don't like? Do you get to add drama to your life by declaring to others something like, Jane's an energy vampire? Do you find yourself being a bit righteous about a belief you hold or an organization you belong to? Do you like feeling that you are the good guy and they are the bad guys? Do you enjoy constantly rushing out to be the hero and thus attract toxic cords and situations into your life so that you can right the wrongs? Do you create an overabundance of strand attachments because you equate busyness with your personal value? Do you have flimsy personal boundaries and suffer from the need to please? Do you find yourself reworking a conversation you had with someone again and again, wishing you'd said something else and feeling guilty for what you did say? Or do you resent that person for not being the kind of person you could say anything to without being worried about how they would take it? Do you easily take offense when it seems someone has judged you and then you feel righteous about your response? If you answer yes to any of these questions, they might indicate a kind of payoff for having attachments in your life. For example, the instant you take offense about what someone said to you or did to you, a cord gets attached. The payoff is that you get to be righteous. If you observe that they were inappropriate, but you don't have any emotional gut response, there's no strand. It's hard, it's so hard to look at ourselves with stark self-scrutiny and realize in some cases there is something we get out of negative energy attachments, even the ones we detest. It's hard, but this kind of self-examination is the first step to releasing negative strands. What are the roots of your strands? It's valuable to explore the roots of the attachments you have before you begin cutting. To truly be free, you need to heal and resolve underlying issues that have precipitated the attachments. If you don't do this, cutting an energy cord can sometimes be a short-term solution. The energy strands will reestablish themselves if you don't understand and heal why they're there in the first place. If you cut cords but don't address the underlying reasons that you have them, they may keep coming back. Sometimes negative strand attachments can represent something in yourself that you aren't owning or acknowledging. It's not uncommon to have an energy strand connection to someone who has qualities you haven't activated in yourself. For example, a woman might have a cord attachment to someone on the national scene in politics who has tremendous confidence, but she subconsciously yearns to activate her own self-esteem. She hasn't owned it yet, so she cord attaches to someone who has it. That particular strand can represent a lack of personal power on her part. Here's another example. Gerald carries a lot of suppressed anger. He believes he's a peaceful person, but everyone around him can attest to the seething emotions that Gerald has just beneath the surface. Some of his co-workers have labeled him as passive-aggressive, but he hasn't accepted his own anger. Whenever Gerald encounters anyone who's angry, he harshly judges them. He hasn't owned his own anger, so he projects his criticism of himself onto others with the same condition. Gerald thus thrusts a strand of energy into each person of whom he disapproves. As long as he judges himself, he can't help it. In other words, he becomes hooked into and corded to the energetic fields of a number of angry people. Consequently, his energy fields are clogged with anger, both his and others. Understanding the source of your negative strands is immensely valuable. The great thing is that as you unweave your own issues, the people who are attracted or courted to the dysfunctional parts of you will start dropping away. They are not demon spawn, necessarily. Don't make the mistake of feeling that the person you want to cut away is a monster and you are an innocent victim. This kind of strong judgment creates all kinds of energy strands of its own and can gum up the works in your auric field. Remember, they wouldn't be able to cord to you if there wasn't anything to attach to. I know there's times when it could feel like they really are demon spawn. I also know from personal experience that it can be really difficult to let go of angst when you're around someone who is cruel, unfair, or unkind. However, in the end, this kind of judgment can damage you and also makes it almost impossible to clear their energy out of your energy field. If you have been truly wronged by another, the best revenge is to clear them completely out of your energy field forever. I'm going to say that again. If you have been wronged by another, the best revenge is to clear them completely out of your energy field forever. And to do this, you need to let go. You need to surrender your judgment and the need to be right about them. It is one of the most difficult things a human being can do, and yet it brings great rewards. You will feel lighter and more at peace with yourself and the world. It's important to know that cutting cords won't necessarily change someone. If they were a jerk before, they'll probably be a jerk afterwards. Cutting the cord just means they aren't entangled in your energy, and thus they aren't creating problems for you. Sometimes the person with whom you've cut the cord will suddenly call you right after you release the connection, and they'll want to reconnect. On an energetic level, they've felt the disconnection, and they'll want to reel you back into their life. If this is a past, dysfunctional relationship, this call doesn't necessarily mean they really want you back in their life. It might mean they want to continue to pull energy from you or even control you. If a person you've just released tries to get back into your life, it's best to simply wish them love and ignore their calls. Sometimes you don't need to cut a cord. Before you diminish any cords, see if there isn't something you can do physically to stop the depletion of your energy. Sometimes you don't actually have to cut the cords. Just simply shifting a few things can make a huge difference. For example, if there's a relative that you constantly feel drained around, simply spending less time with them can help weaken the cord connection. Or if you have strand attachments to objects in your home that have negative associations, some clutter clearing can move them out of your energy field. It may seem simpler just to do a strand cutting ceremony. However, some objects in your home have such strong associations that the cords may form again. Sometimes it's better to move the object out of your home and out of your life. You can do this with relationships as well. Spend less time with people who diminish your energy, and you may not need to do any cord clearing. Become centered and focused before any cutting. Before any cord cutting, it's valuable to be able to hone your energy. This will make your ceremony more powerful. To do this, begin by entering into a meditative state. If your mind begins to wander, gently but firmly bring it back. It helps to have a visual image to focus on, or a mantra to say, in order to keep your mind focused. For example, you might imagine a rose. Visualize every soft curve of its petals. Imagine its fragrance. Notice where the stem attaches to the flower. Be so attuned to the rose that everything else drops away. When you can maintain this discipline for 20 minutes of a calm, dedicated meditative state, then you can be successful at releasing the cords that bind you. Some of these cord-cutting methods incorporate visualization. Don't be concerned if you aren't able to visualize immediately. It is your intent that creates results. Hold a very clear, focused intent, and you'll be able to clear cords just as effectively as if you were visualizing. Sometimes people tell me that they think cutting cords or shielding can't really work if it's just visualization. Actually, visualization can be one of the most powerful methods. When my daughter Meta was about 3.5 years old, an acquaintance named Ruth had come into our home, and I could feel my energy tanking as we talked. To stop the energy depletion, I visualized a beautiful pink rose between Ruth and me. I wanted to mitigate the disturbing energy that was flowing between us, and it made a huge difference. Instantly, my energy started to recover. Just at that moment, Meadow toddled out into the living room, pointed at the space between Ruth and me, and said, "Mommy, Mommy, look at the rose. Pretty." She saw the rose that I had visualized. She saw it. It was a powerful affirmation of the potency of visualization. Your visualization indeed has weight and measure. As a note, just because you release cords with someone doesn't mean that you can't have a wonderful relationship with them. Often it improves a relationship. It doesn't mean that you don't care or you don't want to be friends with that person. It just means that any damaging or depleting cords are dissolved. It frees you to have more energy and vitality. It also allows you to set clear boundaries. Your emotions will be your emotions. Your thoughts will be your thoughts. The opposite of fear is love. And dysfunctional strands usually come out of fear. Release the fear. Step into love. And any negative cords will just drop away. Cord cutting methods. In this chapter, I share a number of potent methods to release cords and strands that aren't healthy for you. Which method should you use? They all work. Some work better for one person than another. My suggestion is to try a few, and soon you'll discover the ones that are most effective for you. Clearing method 1. Cutting strands with knives, physical and non-physical. Whether you do this method in a physical or non-physical way, it needs to be done with compassion and with a powerful intent. If you are upset or angry while you do it, you might be able to cut the cord, but your anger will cleave the person's energy toward you and the cord will reattach. I know this isn't easy. Obviously, if you're cutting a cord, it's because it's causing imbalances in your life, or it's because you are distressed by someone. However, the more you can detach and become the sacred observer with the understanding that there was a reason for the attachment and on some level you gain value from it, the easier it will be to dismantle it. Non-physical cord cutting. Number 1, cleanse yourself. Take a shower, scrub with salt, and then have a cold rinse. The cold water refreshes your auric field. You can also take a saltwater bath, but again, have a cold rinse. Light colors reflect and dark colors absorb. You want the unhealthy attachment deflected rather than absorbed. Number 2, drink plenty of water. It's important to be hydrated for this type of ceremony. Energized water is best. To energize water, either hold your hand over it and bless it, or leave it out in the sun or under the moon and stars for at least 5 hours with the intent of the heavenly forces energizing it. Number 3, write it down. Be clear on exactly who and or what you want to release. Sometimes it helps to write down exactly what you desire and place it on your personal altar. If you don't have an altar, light a candle and place the list under the candle. Number 4, sit in a comfortable location. Close your eyes and relax. It's worthwhile to have some ambient music in the background. Music allows you to go deeper faster. take a few very deep, full breaths. And with each inhalation, imagine that shimmering, fresh energy is filling you. And all that is not needed is being released with every exhalation. 5. Call upon guides. Call upon your spiritual guides, angels, and ancestors to offer support and guidance. Ask with gratitude that they help you release what is not needed for the highest good of all. 6, visualize. Once you feel relaxed, imagine that you are atop a high grassy hill. In the distance, you might see snow-capped mountains or a luminous seashore. Spend time getting a sense of this lofty vantage point. Imagine that the high grasses are slowly waving in a gentle breeze. See white, fluffy clouds overhead. Take a moment to feel strong and grounded. There is a meandering pathway that leads to the top of the hill. Anyone or anything that has attachments to you can come up the pathway to you as you desire. 7. Cut and release. You notice in your hands you have large shears, scissors, or a knife. It feels holy. As the first person you desire to cut cord with appears on the path, imagine that they are standing in front of you. Look at the strands that connect you. If they're brightly colored and vibrant, you might consider leaving them. If you see any that look dull or dark or shriveled, take out your shears or scissors or knife and cut that cord. If your knife begins to feel or look dull, hold it above your head to be sharpened by the light of the sun. Sometimes you'll cut a cord and it seems to come back. You just keep cutting again and again, even pull it out. Eventually it will stay severed. 8. Affirm. As you cut, with a clear intent, say, what is mine is mine. What is yours, Or you can say, I, and then state your name, hereby release and sever all cords to you that do not serve and support our highest good. As I cut the ties to you, I honor my space and I honor your space. We each stand free in our own light. I am free. You are free. Only that which is beneficial and empowering remains. When you make your verbal declaration, you should feel an immediate lightening of your energy field. 9. Offer gratitude. Thank the person or object or situation for being in your life, and then send them sincere blessings for their own journey. This is an important part of the process. It completes the cycle, and it makes it so much easier for you to go forward in your life without the attachment. Physical cord cutting. Physical cord cutting combines visualization with the use of a real knife, shears, or scissors. The steps are similar to the previous method. However, instead of sitting, stand strong. Hold the tool that you're going to use for the severing. Instead of visualizing the knife or the other tool severing the cords, actually take the knife and slice through the air where you perceive the cord to be. Pay particular attention to the solar plexus area, as this area is most often clogged by attachments. Be careful not to cut yourself. Do not cut yourself. Keep your eyes open when cutting. This is important. Make sure that the instrument you use is later washed and rinsed in very cold water to cleanse it of residual energies. Black string method. Use this method in a ceremonial way. Obtain a photo of the person with whom you want to cut strands and a photo of yourself. Roll each photo into an individual scroll and wrap a black string cord or black yarn around one. If you don't have photos, simply write your names on pieces of paper and make them into scrolls. Then, leaving at least 9 inches of thread or string between the two scrolls, wrap the second scroll with the remaining string. In a meditative space, hold the intent that all that is not needed is released. You might say or pray, I invoke the pure light of spirit to flow through me. I am embraced and protected by the light of the Creator. Only that which supports and nurtures me is attached to me. I am safe, strong, and well. All is well. Then take your scissors or knife and cut the cord cleanly. I suggest taking the two parts and disposing of them at a distance apart, such as burying them, or ideally burning them with the intent that all cords are clear and bright and in accordance with the highest good. Traditional knife use for cutting cords. Using a knife to cut cords is very traditional. I was at a wedding in Bali, and the person officiating had an ornate Balinese knife that was used to symbolically cut any cords to others, so as to cleave the couple together. In Tibet, a knife called a kartika is a decorated crescent-shaped knife that is used to cut or sever material and worldly bonds that do not serve you. The knife is decorated with a varja on top, which is a bulb-like decoration that is thought to help destroy ignorance, which in turn leads to enlightenment. Another kind of knife used in Tibetan Buddhism is the purba. This is a three-sided ceremonial knife that has many uses. However, one of the ways Tibetans use it is to dispel demon thought forms and then administer purification. It's believed that the purba can cut negative ties to entities, people, and thought forms, including those generated by a group. Thought forms are energy manifestations of the thoughts, ideas, and emotions of an individual or of a group of people. Some people can sense them, such as when they enter into a space after an argument has taken place. They can feel the heaviness in the room. Other traditions also use a ceremonial knife for cutting ties. In neo-pagan tradition, a knife is used to direct energy, but not to cut cords, and a knife called a bolin, which is curved and looks like a sickle, is used to cut negative energy cords, among other things. I've been told that in some Native American traditions, a bear claw or an eagle talon is used to symbolically pull out cords. Although this feels accurate, I don't have any research that supports this. Using a crystal or a stone for physical cord cutting. The steps for using a crystal or stone for physical cord cutting are similar to the previously mentioned methods. However, make sure you use a faceted or terminated crystal or stone rather than a tumbled one. Black obsidian that's been chipped into an arrowhead or a knife is a powerful tool for cord cutting. A black tourmaline wand is also excellent. Use these objects in the same way you'd use a knife. Clearing method 2. Wrap, pull, and ground. This method is best done outdoors, but it can also be done as an inner meditative journey. This method is like pulling a weed out of the earth by its roots. Outdoors, wrap, pull, and ground. 1. Barefoot and centered. If you're doing this method outdoors, it's best to be barefoot upon the earth, preferably near a tree. Placing your weight equally on both legs, gently rock back and forth, side to side, until you feel that you've found your center point. Be still and imagine that you are a tree of light and your roots are reaching deep into the earth, and your branches are soaring high into the sky. 2. Observing. With your eyes closed, imagine that you are scanning your body. Notice any cords that are coarse or dull. It's not necessary to follow every strand to a source. Simply being aware of a strand, thread, or filament that isn't vibrating with life force energy is enough. 3. Wrapping. Locate the first strand you desire to remove and imagine you are wrapping your hand around it to secure it. You can do this physically with your hand or visualize yourself doing it. 4. Pulling. Once the strand feels secure, with a gentle but steady pressure, pull it out. You might need to gently wiggle it back and forth to get it to release. It can feel like gently pulling a weed out by its roots so that it comes out whole and doesn't break off. Sometimes you may feel a physical sensation inside your body as this happens. This is not uncommon and it's nothing to be concerned about. You'll know when the strand is removed. There will no longer be any tension in it. 5. Grounding. Once the cord is removed, quickly reach down and place the end of it on the earth to ground and neutralize it. Mother Earth can transmute all energy attachments. Then, imagine that the hole left by the cord in your body is filling with light and with love. You can repeat this process with every negative strand you discover. When you're finished, take a long shower and then make sure you have a cold rinse. Alternatively, take an Epsom salt bath and end with a cold rinse. Within 24 hours, you should notice a substantial difference. Indoors, wrap, pull, and ground. This same method can be done indoors as a visualization, and it can be just as effective. It's a matter of having a very clear intention as you do it. And of course, make sure you cleanse yourself afterwards in a similar way. Clearing method 3. Spirit pruning. Another powerful method of clearing depleting ties is to ask for spirit support. This support can be from your guides, totems, ancestors, angels, or the Creator. Call for their support. It can feel like a kind of spirit pruning, where your higher guides are trimming what isn't needed from your soul. For example, call on Archangel Michael. His support is one of the most powerful ways to clear cords. Ask that his flaming sword of light cleave anything that is not needed by saying, Archangel Michael, with deep gratitude, I invoke thee to assist me and here you'd say the other person's name, to release any limiting ties that bind us to each other. I acknowledge my part in this attachment, and I honor the lessons that I've learned. I am now ready to release and let go. I ask that all cords be dissolved and transmuted for the highest good for us both. I request forgiveness and peace to flow between us and to seal us each in our own individual spheres of energy with love. Alternatively, you can visualize one of your spirit guides removing energy threads that are depleting you. You might actually see them using their sacred shears and pruning them the same way you'd prune an overgrown tree. You can imagine that you're in a temple or a hallowed place while the cords are pruned. Remember the very important step of being grateful for all that is released. This deepens the results that you gain. Clearing method 4. Dousing and dissolving. As you learned in chapter 2, the pendulum is a potent tool to help you understand what cords are attached to you. It can also be used for releasing energy attachments. Here are the steps. 1. Imagine the ropes or strands. Visualize that the cords you want to cut are in front of you. Imagine them between you and the other person, or the addictive behavior or object or belief that you desire to cut. 2. Hold the pendulum up in front of you. As you hold the pendulum in front of you, allow it to spin or swing back and forth. In the beginning, it may feel like you are doing it, and that's okay. There may come a time when it feels that it's moving on its own. But until that time, it's okay to feel that you're controlling it. 3. Visualize vibrant light radiating out from the pendulum. Imagine that as the pendulum swings or spirals, the light is getting brighter and brighter. This swinging or spiraling light is severing any cords that are not needed. 4. Start above your head. While the pendulum is moving, much like the way a clock pendulum swings, hold it a few inches in front of you or take it above your head. Slowly lower the moving pendulum. As it gradually goes lower and lower in front of your body, it is cutting cords. If it feels right, you could alternatively start at your pubic bone area and bring the swinging pendulum up your body. 5. Let it stop on its own. Don't be concerned how fast or slow your pendulum swings or spins. Allow it to travel at its own speed. Sometimes it will feel as if it has a mind of its own. This is a good thing. Let it stop on its own. Allow it to complete the process that it's begun. When this occurs, the cords have been cut. Clearing Method 5. Violet Flame, Golden Light. This is my favorite method. I love it because it works in such an easy, flowing way. I also love it because I don't need to figure out what I'm cutting away. The transmuting energy of the flame cleanses only what isn't needed. The first time I encountered the power of the violet flame was decades ago. I'd been in a back room of our home and walked into the living room and stopped abruptly. It felt completely different. My ordinary living room suddenly seemed alive. It looked and felt so vibrant and sparkly. I asked my friend Lynette, who was visiting from South Africa at the time, what happened in the living room? She shyly answered that she had done a violet flame clearing of the room. I hope that was okay, she murmured. It's more than okay. It's fabulous. The radiant feeling in the room is palpable. I want to know how you did that. Lynette explained that the violet flame transmutes negative into positive energy, releases cord attachments, clears karma, raises one's frequency, accelerates spiritual growth, and can even offer a shield of protection. The violet color has the highest frequency on the visible color spectrum. If you look closely at a rainbow, at the far edge of the rainbow, you'll see a tiny bit of this color. It's a color that many spiritual adepts utilize in their meditations for clearing. Since that time, I've used the violet flame with powerful results. Simply visualizing this color as a flame with a very focused intention can activate its cleansing qualities. Here's some steps to use this powerful method for releasing unhealthy strands of energy. You might consider playing Schubert's Ave Maria while you do the method below, as it can help activate the violet flame. Violet flame to melt cords. 1. Cleanse. Take a refreshing shower, make sure to scrub all over, and end with a cold rinse. Or take a salt bath and end with a cold rinse. Wear clean, light-colored clothing. 2. Light a candle. The instant the match touches the wick of the candle can be a very hallowed moment. In that moment, focus a deliberate intention on clearing your strands. 3. Relax. Take a few very deep breaths and allow your body to move into a relaxed state. 4. Place your awareness in your heart chakra. Imagine that in the center of your chest, there's a tiny violet flame. Some people like to start in the third eye area, which works equally well. Concentrate on the flame as it becomes bigger and bigger and brighter and brighter. See it pulsating, undulating, and shimmering until your entire body is encased in it. 5. Affirm out loud. Call upon the higher energies of the violet flame to blaze through you and affirm, I am one with the violet flame. The violet flame flows through me and exists within me. All that is not needed is dissolving and transmuting into higher frequencies. So be it, and so it is. 6. Completion. You can tell when the process is complete, because when you tune in, the sparkling, crackling, and wild undulation of the flame slows down, and it becomes more like a single flame in the center of a still monastery than a blaze of the wind gust. Golden light to melt cords. Here's another clearing method that I love. This meditation is similar to the violet flame, but it works with the golden light and also with communication. Higher self to higher self. The first 3 steps, cleanse, light a candle, and relax into a meditative state, are the same as the violet flame method. Here are the next steps. 4. Connect with the higher self. In your meditation, imagine the higher self of the person you desire to detach from. See that person as perfect. Even if it's a challenge, visualize the person in their natural state, without fear, anger, resentment, control issues, and or manipulative behavior. Imagine that individual healthy, whole, and filled with light. If you have difficulty doing this, imagine what they might have been like if their life circumstances had been different. Remember, almost all bad behavior comes from fear. And if they had different life experiences, different past lives, and a different upbringing, they might be balanced, gracious, and kind, rather than acting out of fear or ignorance. You can also imagine that individual as an innocent, joyous child, if this makes it easier to see them in a positive light. 5. Share and listen. Imagine that their higher self is standing before you. Tell this individual how you feel about the relationship and how you feel that you've suffered because what has occurred between you. Speak honestly and from your heart. Then, and this is important, take time to listen to what their higher self has to say. Sometimes there's an apology. Sometimes there's an explanation. Sometimes there's a sharing of hurt and pain. Allow them the opportunity to share openly and freely. Listen with an open heart, without trying to defend yourself or without telling them why they are wrong. Simply listen. 6. Forgiveness. It's not necessary to forgive someone's actions. Some actions are unforgivable. But it is possible to forgive the individual. Ask yourself if you are willing to forgive that individual who is standing before you. Remember, you can forgive without condoning their actions. It's much easier to release cords if you can forgive. If you can't pardon them, and you continue to be filled with resentment, bitterness, or anger, the cords cling to you. If you just can't quite forgive them, then forgive yourself for not forgiving. it's an excellent first step. 7. Observe the strands. Look at the space between you and the other. Notice what strands connect you. Does some look healthy and some dim and dull? As mentioned before, it's possible to relinquish the unhealthy ones and keep the vibrant ones if you desire. 8. Now invoke the golden light. Invoke or put out the call for the golden light to come forth. You might say, I call upon the golden light of spirit to come forth. With gratitude, I ask this light dismiss all that is not needed and purify and protect me in the months to come. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Imagine that between your hands is a ball of golden, glowing light that grows in vibrancy and warmth. This is the light of the divinity. Hold this light over your head and then slowly bring it down over your body. You might notice golden light streaming out of your hands too. Pay particular attention to the areas of your chakras. Notice as this light flows over the strands, how it melts and dissolves unhealthy ones and how it purifies and strengthens healthy ones. Your entire body is radiating and pulsating with resplendent light. This intense, all-pervasive light is healing you, protecting you, and dissolving all that is not needed. Then take the ball up your body, bringing grounding earth energy into your auric field. And lift the ball up, up to the heavens, letting it float upward and away. 6. Offer gratitude. Offer gratitude and blessings for all that was given. Gratitude helps seal the decording and makes it difficult for new cords to attach. Clearing Method 6. Clearing cords with feathers. Since the beginning of human history, feathers have been a favored tool of shamans and native people for ceremonies and rituals. In many tribal traditions, birds are thought to be messengers between the spirit realm and the physical. Thus, their feathers are venerated as the conduit between these two worlds. Because the quill of the feather is an open tube, many cultures believe it serves as a channel for prayers and energy. It's considered to be a pathway of communication with spirit messages or with supernatural beings. In indigenous cultures, feathers are used for a variety of purposes. For example, there are feathers for healing, dancing, success in hunting and fishing, clearing and protecting a home, and bringing rain, among many others. There are friendship feathers to give to your mentors, friends, or those whom you respect. There's answering feathers to hold to receive an answer to your questions, and smudging feathers for space clearing. Feathers are also bestowed in recognition of a brave act or a worthy accomplishment. They can be used to sever or clear strands. Because of their delicate attunement to the finer aspects of energy, feathers are used in all phases of energy clearing, from the initial assessment to the cutting of cords. The feather can allow you to tune in to levels of awareness that may have previously been inaccessible to you. If your intention is clearly focused, a single feather can instantly sever any unbeneficial strands. When using a feather to clear your own energy and shear off cords of negative energy that are attached to you, you will want to begin by taking the time to deeply connect with the energy of the feather. Hold it next to your heart and imagine yourself merging with the energy of the feather and the spirit of the individual bird from which it came. As you become one with the spirit of the bird, Together you will work to achieve the magic of the strand release. Begin with short flicking movements, working from head to toe over the entire body. Imagine that your feather has the cutting ability of a very sharp etheric knife. If you come to a place that feels sticky or somewhat heavy, this can indicate that the energy is stuck or stagnant there. Concentrate your efforts with the feather in this area, making short, quick movements to break up the energy before you move on. Once you feel the energy beginning to change and you sense a cord has been cut, switch to long, smooth strokes of the feather to even out the energy. Long, graceful movements can smooth out and calm erratic energy after cords have been cut. Always be sure to cleanse your feathers after using them for cord cutting. Passing them through the smoke of burning sage, cedar, or juniper can do this. Choosing your feather. Every feather has an individual energy. The best feathers are the ones that choose you. These are ones that appear seemingly out of nowhere. Additionally, a feather that is gifted to you from a person who honors the Native American medicine way also has great potency. Of course, you can also purchase your feather. Usually stores that supply fly tying equipment for fishermen and craft stores have a supply of feathers. Also, vendors at powwows often carry feathers and feather fans for sale. However, don't just grab one and say, oh, this'll do. To find the best feather for you at a shop or booth, become very relaxed and let your eyelids lower slightly. Then put out the call or ask that your feather appear to you. Often when you do this, you'll see a feather that seems more radiant than the others. This is a sign that it's meant for you. Caring for your feather. Treating your feathers with the respect they deserve enhances their effectiveness. You will want to keep them in a special place and feed them by occasionally sprinkling them with a bit of cornmeal and then shaking it off. Doing so symbolically feeds the spirit of the bird and replenishes the feather's energy. Many birds have mites that may be present in the feathers. If feathers are left untreated, these mites will eventually eat your feathers away and destroy their beauty and usefulness. Storing your feathers in cedar, sage, borax, or tobacco can help prevent this kind of degradation. Forms of feathers to use in cord cutting. Feathers used for cord cutting come in three traditional forms: single feathers, feather fans, and wings. You can use a single unadorned feather, or you can decorate it by wrapping the end of the quill with leather or cloth. This leather or cloth in turn can be decorated with more strips of leather and beads. Another option is to use a feather fan, which is usually made from several feathers gathered together and secured with a piece of leather or a wooden base. Wings and feather fans have a wider surface for moving energy, but they are a little less easy to control than a single feather. Clearing Method 7. Smudging. A delicate plume of smoke curling upward through still air evokes immediate and powerful associations with ritual, purification, and spiritual connections. For thousands of years, humans everywhere have burned herbs, scented wood, resins, and other aromatic substances as a way to channel their hopes, prayers, and dreams to the realm of spirit, as well as to purify living spaces and each other. Smoke purifies and transports. It transforms the ordinary into the sacred. It speaks directly to one of our most powerful and primordial senses, the sense of smell. Our smell is connected to buried memories, emotions, and perceptions. Because of this connection, the use of smoke can powerfully and instantly change energy. It's also believed that our prayers can travel on plumes of smoke, and the blessings from the Creator can descend down the plumes as well. In shamanic traditions, burning herbs are used to clear negative energy from people and places. This practice is called smudging. When I spent time with the Zulu in Africa, they used burning herbs to clean the energy of anyone who'd been released from prison or returned from war. They believe that the energy of those dark places clings to someone when they return home, and they could affect family members if not cleansed. In other words, there were still lingering cords from those dark places and from the experiences that had there. Hence, the Zulu would use burning herbs to cleanse and release the cords. In most of the other native cultures that I've spent time in, the smoke of special burning herbs is also believed to release cords and clear negative energy. When I was in Brazil, talking to a shaman there, he said they use burning herbs to clear negative energy from places. He said they would fill a place with so much smoke that you could hardly see, and then they would open a window to release all the quote-unquote bad energy. Sage and cedar for smudging. One of the most potent herbs used for clearing energy is sage. Traditionally used by Plains Indians, sage has gained great popularity in recent years because of its very powerful and potent ability to cleanse and purify people and spaces. Its effects are instantly noticeable, so it's a good choice to release negative cords of energy. The pungent smell of sage smoke is excellent for dispelling particularly heavy or stagnant energy and releasing dark, sticky cords. The Cherokees, my tribe, as well as a number of other tribes, traditionally use cedar for the same purpose. Different kinds of herbs are used in different countries, but the type of herb used is less important than the intent and prayer that it's used with. Washing your auric field with smoke. Here is a method to cleanse your auric field with smoke and release strands of challenging energy. 1. Place a bowl of smoking herbs or incense on a table or counter, and then draw the smoke to your body with your cupped hands. Wash the smoke over your head with the words, "That my thoughts may be pure." Then wash the smoke over your eyes, saying, "That I may see the truth." Wash the smoke over your ears, saying, "That I may hear the truth." Then wash the smoke over your throat, saying, "That I may speak the truth." Wash the smoke over your heart center, saying, "That my heart be open and clear." Then wash the smoke down your entire body, saying, "That my body be strong." Draw the smoke to each of your chakras with the intention of releasing unnecessary and unneeded cords. As you draw the smoke over your body, focus your thoughts on the intention for the clearing. Know that the smoke is cleansing you of distractions and negativity. It is purifying your mind and body in readiness for the energy work that you are about to do. This is an excellent method to use for purifying your aura before performing a cutting ceremony. It can also be used to help remove smaller attachments, such as filaments and thread strands. Smudge bundles. A smudging bundle is created of dried herbs bunched together and then wrapped tightly with string. This is traditionally burned to create smoke for smudging. The dried smudge bundle is first lit and then extinguished, allowing the still smoldering herbs to give off their pungent smoke. Please note cautions concerning the use of burning herbs. These bundles are one of the easiest and most common ways to use herbs for smudging. You can make your own herb bundles, or you can buy them at a New Age store or via mail order. Sage is probably the most common herb used for smudging, but other